discussion.
Okay, good morning. We'll call the county council meeting to order for January the 12th, 2012. First thing will be approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson?
Yes, good morning, Mr. President. Thank you. Today we can remove approval of minutes, remove John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning, and we can remove executive session. I don't believe we have anything for executive session.
Okay. Okay, we're going to remove the approval of minutes, the report from John Ashman, executive session, and possible acts on executive session. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? Now we'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There are three letters that are thanking community development for work that was done on their homes. And the first one is from Constance Crosson. Second one is from the King family. And the third appears to be from a Maddie Hurst. Then there is a letter from a Valerie Cloutier, and this is in reference to the proposed ordinance to amend Chapter 99, which will be heard later. So I think it'd probably be more appropriate to read it at that point when we have the hearing. And that is all, Mr. President.
Anyone counsel have anything? Correspondence? Sussex Economic Development Action Committee report. I assume that's going to be Mr. Ryder. While Rob's coming down, I just wanted to take a minute to congratulate your dad and the Ryder family on last night's marvel.
Wonderful.
That was very, very nice.
Thank you very
much. He's done a great deal for Bridgeville and this county and this state, and it's nice to see people recognized for that. But congratulations to your father.
Thank you. Thank you to those of you that went up to support that. I heard that you were whispered to a little bit that a Sussex County member was going to receive the award.
Yep. So. That was very good.
Thank you. And Mr. President, councilmen and women, thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to present to you today. My name is Rob Ryder, current chair of CDAC. And you should have received a CDAC annual report in your meeting package for today. And I'm just going to give you a real brief update, as we had promised to do when we formed the organization. But I also don't want to reiterate everything that's in the package. So I'll just give you a few highlights. First of all, you guys probably are aware this idea began in 2007, but this is actually the end of our first real formal year of organization. We became formally organized with a board last August in 2010, and in February received our 501c3 status, and in May we launched our website. Our mission, which is on the cover of the report, is to leverage the experience, intellect, and creativity of the Sussex County community to inform, develop, recommend, and communicate strategies for creating sustainable economic prosperity. The long and short of that is, as I call it, is we would like to be a group of government folks, private folks, that are connectors and provide some connective tissue within the county to promote economic development. Not by any means replacing the efforts of the great economic development office that we have with the county, but to support that. The couple of highlights this year that we're proud of, we have begun a Sussex County Open for Business Conference, which happens every month. And this is for small entrepreneurs. This month it's at the Georgetown Public Library. And this isn't a game of big numbers, but it's a game of making a difference with a few entrepreneurs. If we can get a few small businesses on their feet, and what they do is they come to this event and they have a variety of resources available to them that they might otherwise be chasing all around the county to get. There's some testimonials you'll see in a press release that we are making a difference with that. We had an economic gardening conference this year. And that was bringing in an expert from outside to assist us with economic development concepts. And we had a great reception from local businesses and officials. And we also continue on with the what's called the Resourceful Leader Program with in cooperation with the University of Delaware. We've graduated two classes, and so far 18 jobs have come out of that, because when you enter the class, you make a pledge to create a job. And this is a way to kind of develop local leaders and inspire them to understand their impact on economic development. We're continuing to pursue the emergency response building, and we also have supported a number of initiatives which you guys are well aware of. You know, the airport runway extension, the ordinance for permit extensions, Nanticoke Dreading, the Snow Hill Rail Rehabilitation Project, and many others. And there's a continuing number of new initiatives coming at us that we're working very closely with both Dito and Julie Wheatley here with the county. One of our big accomplishments this year, which we haven't been able to fully utilize yet, is we received an RBAG grant through USDA. And we are currently not a funded organization, but we do have this grant that's valued at $25,000. And we're putting together our strategy for how to find the matching contributions for that to make that work, and also developing our strategy as to how we want to shape this organization so that we work in concert with the county and not in competition with the county. You know, we're here to be a collaborative and supporting agency. We will be working closely over the coming months with Mr. Lawson, now that Mr. Baker has retired, and with Mr. Vincent to formulate how we actually want to work with the county and how the county wants to work with us. So that'll be forthcoming. We've got a lot of really exciting things on the table. So what I'd like to do now is to open it up for questions from you guys, if you have any. If not,
I'd like to know a little bit more about your emergency response project. Could you have any more information on that, please?
There really isn't
for the airport.
There isn't any new information. Okay. It's been a process to continue to try to find opportunities for tenants, and as you know, it's a complicated process. But we have a gentleman in the group, Bob Ruggio, that's driving that very diligently, and weekly he's meeting with somebody, and I believe he's also he had some meetings coming up this week, and I don't know all the details of that, but he continues to pursue that diligently with the hope that we could get something out of King Farm at the airport.
King Farm at the airport. What is the vision? What's the goal there?
Well, the vision would be to provide, to have, I'm not the best one to articulate
okay.
this, but let me give it a shot. The vision for this particular building is one of the needs of Sussex County is emergency response in the event of a hurricane, in the event of some weather tragedy. Mm-hmm. And the airport is a great place to bring supplies in, to ferry people out, or whatever it may be. That means cooperation with National Guard, Delaware Emergency Management Operations, FEMA, all of those agencies. So can this be a place to maybe house emergency supplies mm-hmm. for a catastrophic event? Can it be a place to help bolster the National Guard or some of that military mm-hmm. presence in Georgetown, among other things?
Okay.
So that's
sure.
It's continuing to form, and if we do get a building like that, what else can utilize that? So
it'll be working with our own EOC then.
Right.
Yes. Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions of council? Okay. Thank you, Rob, for the report.
Yeah,
and thank you for the update.
Sure. Please note the back page. These are our numbers. We're proud of them, and we're going to continue. When we come back next year, they'll be even bigger.
All right, that's good.
Thank you.
Look forward to working with you people. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Todd Lawson, County Administrator.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's report for January 10th. Item number one, Sussex County Local Emergency Planning Committee meeting. The Sussex County Local Emergency Planning Committee meeting will be held Thursday, January 12th, 2012, at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center. Included with this report is a copy of the agenda. Item number two, Attached, please find the Delaware State Police Activity Report for November 2011. In that, you will see 3,472 total traffic arrests and 1,241 criminal arrests. Of those criminal arrests, 448 were felony, 793 were misdemeanor criminal arrests. Of the total hours spent on duty, 40% of those hours were spent on criminal investigations. Lastly, county offices will be closed January 16, 2012, in honor of the birthday of Martin Luther King, Jr. Offices will reopen January 17, 2012 at 8:30, and the county council meeting will occur at the usual time, 10 a.m. Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Lawson? Old business, Mr. Lank. First thing will be conditional use number 1902, filed on behalf of Dorothy Garvey.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
We have two items of old business this morning. First one being conditional use number 1902. It's an application of Dorothy Garvey to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for medical offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 22,161 square feet, more or less, lying north of Route 24, also known as John J. Williams Highway, 425 feet east of Road 275, also known as Plantation Road. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on June 23rd of 2011. Council held a public hearing on July 19th of 2011. The Commission rendered their decision on July 28th of 2011. For the benefit of the record, on June 23rd of 2011, Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use 1902 for Dorothy Garvey for medical offices based upon the record made at the public hearing for the following reasons. The proposed conditional use is appropriate for this section of Route 24 directly across from the BB Medical Center campus. Two, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Three, the use of the doctor's office benefits the health, safety, and welfare of Sussex County residents. Four, in approving this use, I am not moving to approve the site plan. That requires significant revisions prior to its approval of the final site plan by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Five, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the use shall be limited to medical offices only. No retail use shall be permitted. B, there will not only be one lighted sign on the premise that shall not exceed 32 square feet on each side. The sign shall not be illuminated between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. C, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties. D, no outside storage shall be allowed on the premise. E, hours of operation shall be limited to between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. F, there shall not be any parking in the front yard setback. G, the final site plan shall not utilize the subdivision street to the rear, known as Collins Avenue, unless the applicant can confirm that the use of this right-of-way for access to medical offices is legally permitted. H, all entrances and roadway improvements shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements. I, the use shall be served by county sewer when that service becomes available, and shall comply with the requirements of the County Engineering Department regarding any improvements to the system that are required to serve the property. J, the applicant shall submit a revised preliminary site plan addressing improved traffic flow, relocated parking areas, removal of sheds, etc., for approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And K, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson and seconded by Mr. Burton to forward this application to County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. The motion received 2 votes in support and 2 votes in opposition. Therefore, the chairman called for a roll call vote with Mr. Burton stating yea, Mr. Johnson stating yea, Mr. Smith stating nay, and Mr. Wheatley stating nay. Therefore, the motion was denied for lack of a majority. Mr. Robertson, Vince Robertson, Assistant County Attorney, stated that based on the rules and procedures of the Planning and Zoning Commission, failure to receive 3 affirmative votes shall be deemed to disapprove a matter. Mr. Smith, to clarify, stated that he voted in opposition since he was not satisfied that a sufficient record was presented by the applicant's representatives, and since there was no record of support by residents, owners along Collins Avenue. Although there was support from a prospective purchaser of the property, the burden of creating a record is on the applicant, and not enough detailed information was presented by the applicant. The council hearing on July 19th of 2011, the basics was that the council deferred, and the deferral was based on the lack of a recommendation yet at that time from the commission. There were no other reasons stated. And there were 4 parties, 4 council parties present. Mrs. Deaver was out of the, did not participate in public hearing.
Okay. Well, any questions from council, Mr. Lang?
Yes. Lawrence, has anything changed from the engineering department? I see that in your comments that the site's not capable of being annexed to the county's operated sewer district at this time.
No, it's no change. We haven't received anything different.
So
as you see in my motion, there was a reference made that the use shall be served by county sewer when that service becomes available.
And show me the map. I'm trying to refresh my memory. Do you have one of the little site plans? I want to see, where is this, it? How close is the sewer? And
I don't know that the map will show you, because the map that we utilize is tax maps.
Right.
It's about 2 or 3 lots down from Plantation Road. Let me find the site map here.
Coming back towards where the Hudsons were?
It's like 2 doors down from the Hudson track.
Okay, and the Collins, could you reference again the...
Collins Street is the street directly behind the site, and they were proposing to...
Use it, and it's a
use
private...
Use it for...
Right.
They were going to get access from 24 for entry, but they had to exit out on Collins.
Was that a DLDOT requirement, or that was just their suggestion? Because later on I read where they have not gone to DLDOT for anything. There's no DLDOT recommendations.
No, we have DLDOT comments in the application reference in the case.
Okay, and they actually said
they don't have a final approval from DLDOT until we grant consideration and approval of this application before DLDOT will go any further on the answers.
Because it looks like this, was this part of that subdivision when they did this old subdivision?
It's a strip lots along 20.
They're just strip lots. This is a, okay.
So they do have access to use it as far as private access for a residential lot.
For the back lot. Right. Is there a back lot? Is that what it is in here or something like
that? No, it's actually a back through.
Okay. Okay. So they do, on this Collins, they are one of the legitimate people that can use Collins.
Yeah, that's not a question. That wasn't a question. It's
okay.
Whether or not they would be approved at a residential subdivision lot and whether or not it can be used for commercial access.
Okay, and that would be the only commercial use of that Collins Avenue.
Right.
Unless these two are not part of the application,
They have frontage on 24 and are separated by ownership.
All right.
But this
could set a precedent. If we make this commercial and they use that, then these other two could easily, you know, impact the whole private drive. Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
Any more questions from council?
I may have missed something. Mr. Cole just referenced making this commercial, but this is not a change of zone.
It's a conditional use.
Right.
For a commercial activity, so that's...
But we're not changing the zone.
Oh, I know, I understand that. We know we're permitting we're giving a permit for a commercial activity, which could set a precedent for those. If you looked at his little tax map advance, there's two other, you remember the Hudson track there that...
Yep.
Right? Okay, there's two more between this parcel and the Hudson track, which would again indicate that if somebody has commercial uses on each side of them, they might want to go commercial also. And next thing you know, you have more, you'll put more traffic on that private residential road, or let's say that private lane that was has been predominantly a residential use. So that would be the...
Lawrence, who would determine the access to that private, if it is a private road at Collins Avenue, who determines if they can use that for something besides residential access to it?
Well, it's really, the lot already has frontage on Collins Avenue or right. Collins Street, whichever it is. And it's whether or not the commission's concern was the neighbors in that subdivision have been responsible to maintain that street because it's just a private drive. And whether they agree to allow for access for commercial use. The residential use isn't a problem.
Right.
But it's just a driveway that goes through for the individual.
So the owners that I guess have property on that street.
On Collins Street.
They
have to maintain it. So they would be responsible to maintain more probably than what would have been as a residential use,
right,
because you're going to have traffic in and out for a commercial use.
So it's up to those owners to say they can or cannot use Collins Avenue for a commercial use.
It would be depend on how it's written, right? Maybe ever better clear this up a little bit.
It would depend on the plot itself, on the original restrictions. I'm not sure how old this subdivision was, if it was very old, and if there's even any reference to that. Traditionally, an access way would, if it's shown on a plot, would be whatever use it is, because the people own the land and the access goes with the land, not necessarily changes with the use, as opposed to just a traditional right-of-way. If it's listed as a street instead of a right-of-way, but this is something that the council or planning and zoning, when they look at the site plan, when they give the final approval, would ask a report from the actual attorney that would be representing the applicant to provide evidence of this.
I have a question.
Mr. Phillips.
One point is the testimony said there will only be 15 to 18 patients per day, so it's not a typical commercial activity that could draw hundreds of cars and vehicles per day. The second is there an opportunity for us to put anything in the conditions that can transfer some of the maintenance burden to the applicant?
Probably not. Ever? Perk up.
To be honest with you, that's a new one. I guess you could put it in a condition, as part of the approval, that there would be an additional burden of maintenance on this, although that's really a new one. I would want to look at that.
The only thing I would raise, I live in a community older with a private drive, and there's nothing that breaks down any kind of percentages. Mm-hmm. Anything we do, any kind of participation, it's basically some do, some don't. And I'm suspicious that this is a similar situation, so... and then you could have people get mad at each other and say, I'm not going to do anything now. Let that guy do it all. Anyway, and the thing just gets worse and worse. So I'm still a little concerned about the Collins Avenue.
Well, it's, Mr. President.
Sorry, Mr. Phillips.
I just keep looking at the proximity to BB Hospital. If there was ever a place for our medical offices, it seemed like this would be it.
If it had sufficient maybe frontage to get the cars in and out on 24, but it appears that DelDOT doesn't want to do that. Is that correct?
DelDOT basically would allow for an entrance on the 24 unless they change their philosophy before they get an actual occupied building if it's approved.
Well, Mr. President,
yes,
could
sir.
We defer this today while Our county attorney maybe researches how we could place a condition on this that could allow for the shared burden of maintenance for Collins Avenue.
Certainly.
What is the condition of Collins Avenue right now? I can't remember. Is it paved? Is it dirt?
It's
dirt, isn't it?
It's gravel, stone. I don't believe it's paved except right at the entrance.
Right.
Probably it's paved.
So last time I was on it, it was. And the other thing is, if we're going to do that, I'd like to have a little more clarification of what it would take for this to be hooked up to the county sewer system. Because you're in an area that's surrounded by sewer service. Is it just something that would require the applicant to make a request and then, you know, tie in? Why isn't it? Why it says here that the county does not have a schedule to provide sewer service at this time. So if somebody could maybe clarify why and the situation that's caused that.
Well, didn't you say, Lawrence, there's a couple properties between the sewer and this property?
No, I didn't really know where the sewer line is at that location.
Not real
sure. But it's a couple lots from Plantation Road.
Right.
And the majority of Plantation Road is served by sewer, but I don't know where it stops close to 24.
Well, this whole area, I mean, we're just off of the coastal highway, sewers everywhere.
It's in the plan to be served at some time in the future.
Right, okay.
But not current.
We'll make a motion to defer.
Okay, I'll move that we defer this application's vote today to give our county attorney time to come up with language that could be placed as a condition to put the share burden of Collins Avenue's maintenance onto the applicant along with the current residents of that development, if possible. Now, that's the motion, and then if there's a second, I do have a question.
No, could I just add to that motion that I don't want clarification on the sewer?
Is that okay with you, Michaels?
No objection.
You do? You say you want clarification?
Yeah, I just want to find out what the situation is. It's a little unclear.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
So the motion will be to defer, allow the county attorney to come back with some possible
conditions
that would place the burden more so, I guess, on that property than the rest of them or whatever, and at the same time to find out where the county sewer actually ends right now and how that could be.
Well, just an explanation, a clarification on that.
Okay.
We have a motion. Have a second?
Yes, sir.
Have a second, Mr. Cole. Question on the motion. Mr. Phillips.
Again, I apologize if it was made clearer than I heard it. Right now, Collins Avenue is not a blacktop?
No.
All right. I mean, it might be, if I could suggest to the attorney, he's going to come up with several, but maybe they would consider blacktopping it at least to where they go in.
That would probably be the best thing. Because actually, we know that 15 cars are not going to wear a route out. We know that. Actually, the weather is more damaging than anything else we could have on a highway.
But we're not sure. That's just, they're
okay,
just speculating.
We have a motion to defer. Any more questions on that motion?
I just have one other comment, please. That this, if you're considering requiring the applicant to blacktop or to improve that, we ought to say to meet minimum county standards, which is our it would give us at least a basis.
Yeah, that's not part of the motion, but no. I think that's right, Mr. Moore. Can that
right, so anything you suggest then, Everett, should meet the minimum county standard, which is less than state standards, obviously, but it's what any subdivision would be required to do.
Okay, we'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We deferred.
Mr. Vinson, could the record show Ms. Deaver exited the room when the discussions took place, and she did not participate previously, but I would like that on the record.
Certainly. Okay. The next old business is conditional use number 1883, filed on behalf of Margaret Taylor.
This is application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing 6 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 9,800ths of an acre, more or less, lying southeast of Bi-State Boulevard, also known as U.S. Route 13A, and Horsey Road, being Road 460. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on March 10th of 2011. Commission made a recommendation on April 28th of 2011, and the council held their public hearing on March 29th of 2011. On April 28th of 2011, Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of conditional use 1883 for Margaret Taylor for 6 multifamily dwellings units at this time based upon the record and for the following reasons. 1, while there was evidence presented that certain structures and uses predated zoning, the record is unclear as to which of the structures contain legally non-conforming dwellings that are entitled to remain without the necessity of a conditional use approval. Section 115-202 of the Zoning Code states that the Board of Adjustment has the authority to resolve any uncertainty as to whether a use is legally non-conforming. So while it appears to me that 3 dwelling units may have been legally non-conforming, the applicant should get that determination first, since it affects the outcome of the pending conditional use application for more than 1 dwelling on the property. 3, for these reasons, I move that we recommend denial of conditional use 1883 for Margaret Taylor for multifamily dwellings at this time. 4, I further recommend that the applicant seek a determination from the Sussex County Board of Adjustment as to the number and location of any non-conforming dwellings on the property before seeking any more conditional uses for additional dwellings on the property. Therefore, there was a motion and a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. For history's sake, the council's public hearing on March 29th of 2011. You heard the basis of the public hearing report. There were several parties that spoke against the application, and 1 in support. There was a motion by Mr. Cole, seconded by Mr. Phillips, to require the applicant to supply the county with a septic evaluation and documentation regarding the holding tank process. And we did receive that. And I'll just read the note that was attached in the overall comments. And it's handwritten, so it's a little difficult to read. The overall rating is satisfactory with concerns. There was no ponding on the system. The trailer of the tank appears to be 1,000 gallon. The age of the system is a concern, and the location. The holding tank was approved and has a contract with Roto-Rooter cleaned out as needed. I just use the word, but I can't read it. That's basically what they do. So there was an evaluation. It says a DENREC document, and it makes reference that there have been no repairs reported to the system. It makes reference to multifamily use of the property. Let's see what else. Yeah, basically, it's that comment I read. But it is a DENREC comment, and it's signed by Brent Nichols on behalf of DENREC. He's the inspector.
And I mean,
so it has been reviewed.
Yeah, to summarize his concerns again, he's got concerns about the system.
Had a satisfactory rating with concerns. There was no ponding on the system. Tank appears to be 1,000 gallon.
Okay.
And the age of the system is a concern. And it doesn't, and it makes reference, there's a holding tank with a contract. So there's a septic system and a holding tank on that property.
Okay, and what is being used? Both of those systems are currently being used?
Being used, right.
Currently being used.
If you remember, there was an accessory building along Bi-State Boulevard. There was a one-story brick building and a one-story building that formerly at one time was used for a service station. There were 6 units total, and there's also a mobile home that's counted as one of the units for a rental.
Right.
And it has access to Horsey Road. The other buildings face and are only 20-some foot from U.S. 13A Bi-State Boulevard. So the concern of council was whether or not there was adequate septic on the site to serve it.
Mm-hmm. Did the applicant pursue any of the planning and zoning's issues where they said they'd like to have the Board of Adjustment?
No, they did not.
Look into anything? So they didn't follow up on any of that?
And if you remember, this application came from there was a violation issued on the property for the multifamily use of the property. It was determined the mobile home was valid. It's been a replacement over the years, so the mobile home, as long as it's replaced without leaving a 2-year period in between, it could still be utilized. And the issue was the number of units in the two buildings.
In the old building, right. So
they didn't replace as long as it's an upgrade, right? They can replace the mobile home as long as it's an upgrade?
This has to be a newer. Each time has to be newer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions of council? Ms. Deaver?
I was listening to the our transcription of the meeting, and I just want to ask, Mike, I could hear you very well next, George, then Vance, I had trouble hearing you. I didn't hear anything from Sam at all.
I didn't say nothing.
It's very hard. It's very hard to hear our voices if you're listening, elsewhere. So I just want to ask you to please speak up.
Any other questions, Mr. Lank? Mr. Wilson?
Why are we involved in the septic tanks? I thought that was natural resources job. How come we're telling people how old the tanks is?
Well, maybe the concern was because they're trying to put more, it may have been for a septic tank for a single unit, and they got 4, 5, or 6 dumping into it.
It's the number of units, Sam, attached to those systems.
I'm a little surprised that NREC didn't raise more objection than they did, but that's fine.
I think it's very difficult to go and look at these systems and know if they're, really what's going on with them, because it's a one-day shot. They're there just for a brief period. Yeah. Who knows?
What is the pleasure of council?
Read the motion. Read the title.
Mr. Moore?
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for multifamily dwelling structure, 6 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 0.989 acres, more or less.
Motion, we adopt the ordinance.
I'll second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips, to adopt the ordinance. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I see a lot of problems with this, and the Planning and Zoning Commission voted it down unanimously, so I concur with that, so I would vote it no.
Mr. Cole?
I share some of the concerns that P&Z has. The number of units seems to be excessive from reading the record, and because they didn't follow up with the Board of Adjustment to determine the number and location of any of these non-conforming dwellings, which would have given us, I think, a better and a clearer picture of what we should be supporting here or denying. But anyway, my concerns are the same as P&Z's, and I think 6 units, multifamily units, on this site is too much. And with the wastewater concerns, that they're suspicious that that there could be problems there. Also, the setback from I think the road, it's awful close, and it's an older structure that has been messed with probably over the years. And I think we needed a clearer picture. So I'm going to vote no at this time.
Phillips.
I'm going to vote no as well, echoing the same concerns of Mr. Cole. I would ask our enforcement departments to be very sensitive. There are people that are currently living here. We don't want to put anybody out on the streets, so we need to work very closely with the owner to try to help them navigate this through Board of Adjustments, possibly as was suggested by the commission. But in light of all these concerns today, I'm voting no.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes.
Reasons?
Well, I'm going on what the P&Z said here. They're going to defer it for further study, and I don't think it's hard for me to go against grandfathering.
Okay. based on planning zoning recommendations, and I do share the same concerns that have been expressed by everyone else, that there's some issues that are unanswered. They haven't gone to Board of Adjustment to try to find those out. So based on PNC's recommendation, I'm going to vote no. Motion defeated.
Thank you.
It is now, okay, we'll do our scheduled 10:30 public hearing at this time.